Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom alt.
This is episode 3, so we still have the training wheels on. I hope my enthusiasm will make up for any errors and technical issues. The topic of this episode is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'll talk with Kimmy about the ship of Tony Stark and Bruce Banner. What's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk/Spock, or my favorite ship is Spurk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple, and are using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fanworks might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, slash, meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. You can find the Shipping Cast on Tumblr at shippingcast or shippingcast.fandomish.net, where you can find links to sign up on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on the shippingcast@fandomish.net, where you can also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about, or shipping in general, so please get in touch. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 37 and have been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom 18 years ago, which was also when I started writing in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you were wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in cultural anthropology, media studies, and German literature. These days, I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows, and many, many podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, vidding, and gifing, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about what they're passionate about, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip this episode. As far as I'm aware, however, the pairing of Tony Stark and Bruce Banner is not very controversial. Tony, the genius billionaire playboy philanthropist, and Bruce, the brilliant scientist who sometimes turns into an enormous green rage monster, have excellent chemistry right from their first interaction in the first Avengers movie, and Kimmy has lots of squee to share with us. We'll be talking about the appeal of Bruce and Tony, both as separate characters and as a pairing, as well as talk about the MCU, but also about the way their comics backstories inform fandom. We also get a teeny tiny bit sidetracked a couple of times, because Kimmy is an avid multi-shipper, and we both have opinions about everything. And of course, Kimmy has many recommendations for you to sink your teeth into, but hopefully only after you listen to our chat. Enjoy! Hi, Kimmy.
Hey.
Thank you for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
So, your name is Kimmy, obviously, but what else would you like to share about yourself? Like, where are you from? What do you do?
I'm actually a student from Poland. I study law as well as media management, copyright, and European studies.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. So, how do you know Mia?
We've met through the Shadowhunters fandom. I actually came across her back on Twitter when I was still using Twitter as my social media of choice. And then after I moved on to Tumblr, or after I was dragged to Tumblr, I got to find some more of her work and actually chat with her and kind of join this little Tumblr group in the Jalik fandom. And it was really, really great.
Yeah, so far Shadowhunter seems to be the connecting thread of these interviews.
I guess it may keep up considering my nomination.
At some point, I promise I will interview someone that I don't know yet. But we know each other as well through Shadowhunter's fandom, just, you know, full disclosure. But we're not actually here to talk about Shadowhunters today. We're here to talk about a different fandom. But first, in addition to Shadowhunters and the MCU that we're going to talk about today, what's your fandom background?
I actually haven't been generally in fandoms for that long, because I think it's maybe 4 or 5 years now. I was always kind of a person who grabbed onto one story and obsessed over it until my enthusiasm ran out and I moved on to another thing. But I think ever since I actually discovered social media for fandoms and the institution of fan fiction, I've been reading and writing since 2014, and that was like Sherlock Holmes fandom, the BBC Sherlock.
The BBC Sherlock, okay.
Merlin, although I was already joining Merlin after it was sort of dead because Arthur was.
That show ended, what, 2012?
2012, but I joined it in like 2014 or maybe 2013. That was actually around the time of my first Marvel phase, or around the time I was finishing with my first Marvel phase, because not long after that, Age of Ultron came out and I sort of wasn't too happy with it, you could say. But besides that, I've also been in the Kingsman fandom briefly, and quite a big fandom for me. I think the second largest fandom of mine after the Shadowhunters was James Bond. All of the movies, though I was writing for 00Q from the newest movies with Daniel Craig and Manu Wisho.
So you've gone through quite a number of fandoms in those few years. You said you usually have like one big fandom that you obsess about?
Yeah, definitely. It's sort of like moving from one fandom to another.
And in those fandoms, do you have like one ship that you primarily write for and read? Or do you have like multiple pairings that you like?
I'm actually quite a multi-shipper, especially when it comes to reading. But like when I think about it, I do end up writing for just one ship usually. I think Marvel may be able to like sort of change that trend now that I started writing for it. But although, for example, in Shadowhunters, I've had quite a lot of ships and was definitely writing for a lot more ships, there was still about like 70 fix for one ship, and the rest was like maybe 30 altogether or something like that.
Oh yeah. Okay, so you have like one, usually like one big pairing and a few others that you like.
I think it's a lot about like feeling comfortable to write for a ship, being different from what I enjoy reading. There are some ships that I just don't feel like I'm good enough to write, or there just isn't enough fan base, especially behind rare pairs, to feel motivated enough to write.
And sometimes it's just hard to get, like, there's just some characters I find that are difficult to write for.
That's definitely true. Unfortunately, some of those characters are, like, one of my big ships right now.
Is it the ship that we're talking about today?
Definitely too, although I think even more difficult would be my second biggest OTP at the moment.
But the biggest one is still Tony and Bruce.
Yes, definitely still. Yes. The Science Boyfriends would be the first one, and the second one is Winter Iron. But
Okay, so there's overlap there. So you're not like me who, when I, like with my OTPs, I cannot stand to read or write about them with anyone else.
No, more generous. I'm horribly indecisive in this matter, and like I'm a multi-shipper, and I've actually signed up for a bingo lately, and while sort of compiling a list of prompts for that bingo, I have figured out that I actually have over 20 ships for just Tony Stark, so definitely wow. Multi-shipper.
Oh yeah, to go back to the ship that we're talking about today, you already mentioned that it's called Science Boyfriends.
I think actually the most popular name that you will find around the internet would be Science Bros.
Yeah, that's how
actually,
I knew it.
Yeah, especially right now, it's a lot more popular as a platonic ship. But there was a time when it was a lot more popular, especially before Age of Ultron and Thor Ragnarok, when two big ships for Bros emerged. But we usually use Science Boyfriends to sort of distinguish the platonic and romantic ship. But I've come across those two overlapping. I've come across people tagging romantic stuff as Science Bros because it's kind of complete mess with the ship name. It's always difficult.
Yeah, I remember it after the first Avengers movie. That's when it pretty much took off.
I mean, it's kind of natural, I guess, considering the movie ended with the two of them like riding up into the sunset. That was good times.
That were definitely good times, yes. So was that how you found the ship?
I definitely found it through the first Avengers movie. Like, that was my peak Marvel phase, 2012, when I was heavily into Iron Man and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so mostly Iron Man and Robert Downey Jr. And after watching the first Avengers, I was really fascinated with Science Bros. I think it was mostly platonic back then, but mostly I just didn't know back then yet that I can look it up on AO3 and find so many things that I can write for it myself. So back then, I just didn't know there is a fan base for it. I think my social media of choice was still Facebook, and Facebook is not really a fandom-friendly social media.
No.
So.
Oh, my sweet dumb child.
I just didn't know, which is really sad, because back then it was a big ship, and right now I'm sort of discovering all that stuff after I rediscover Marvel.
What appeals to you about them? How would you introduce it to someone?
I guess to me it's hugely about the fact that I'm also a nerd, and I really love anything to do with science, and genius characters are my favorite characters, and the two of them like had really really good chemistry on screen, especially in the Avengers, but I think they really have good chemistry in all the movies, so it just sort of really hit me. It's hard to explain because, as I said, I'm a huge multi-shipper and I don't really need much to like sort of latch onto a ship, but yeah, they definitely had really good chemistry in that movie.
Yeah, there's definitely a canonical base for that ship, I think. What are your favorite canon moments then? Is it that moment when they drive off in the Corvette, or?
I think it's actually their first meeting. Your work on the anti-electron collisions is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you turn into a Green Ridge monster. And everything
that was verbatim.
That was just absolutely amazing for me, and sort of like the moment for me where that chemistry was centered and it started, you could see that they like literally exchanged maybe two words. On Bruce's side, it was just one word, but they really clicked.
Yeah. What do you think makes them work to like as a ship for you?
Oh my God, this is going to sound horrible, but people in fandom understand. I just love broken characters, and they are both really broken. And I think I enjoy the idea of them fixing each other. Like, they can relate to each other on so many levels in a way, because they have this whole intellectual connection, which is really important. And on top of that, they also understand what it's like to have even if very different, complicated childhoods, and sort of be a pariah, even if it's different for Bruce, who is literally an outcast. I think Tony relates to that a little bit, because despite the fact that he is constantly in the spotlight, he is sort of alone despite being in the center of attention. So they just relate to each other a lot. And I think that they relate to each other while being different enough, it keeps it interesting.
Oh yeah, I totally get that. So you said the fandom, after the first Avengers movie, it kind of exploded, but that wasn't when you really became active in it. How did that happen? What was the reason for your like MCU second awakening?
I mean, so to speak? The first Avengers movie, that was like 6 years ago, so I was still back in junior high school, and I really wasn't into fandoms yet back then. I was still a little bookworm who was just latching onto one obsession but not knowing what to do with it. But funnily enough, I dropped out of Marvel in like 2013 after Iron Man 3 and discovered fandoms in 2014. So okay, there was that. And I think there was potential for me to fall back into it with the Age of Ultron if it wasn't for the fact that I watched Age of Ultron and absolutely hated it. So that didn't help. And I sort of filled that blank for a few months with just focusing on Robert Downey Jr.'s work in general and all of his films that weren't Marvel related. I still have a really soft spot for the soloist and Chaplin. And after that, sort of Sherlock happened, and I didn't really discover Marvel again until I joined Tumblr, and it sort of kept popping up here and there. And then I realized that Science Boyfriend is actually a thing, and that it's not something only I like, and I just had to use that chance of finally exploring it.
So it's still quite active, although maybe not on the large scale that it used to be?
Maybe not as active, and I sort of missed that connection maybe with other fans, but I have found a few people to talk to. But mostly, I think to me, this is also about the material to read. I really enjoy reading fics, and there's the fact that there is a few thousand fics to read for me, that was really important, because... The funny thing is, I was sort of already aware of shipping back then when I was in my first Marvel phase, and I was already aware that Tony is a big thing. And like, yes, Steve and Tony was grabbing all the attention after Avengers 2, because Steve and Tony, they also had really good chemistry back in that movie. So I was aware that it's a bit sad, like, I just wasn't aware that even on the sandlines, it's still a big thing. And now I can sort of catch up on that. I have a lot of reading, even if I'm unfortunately slowly running out of it. And I get to write. And I think that creating part and consuming the fun works is the most important part of fandoms for me. So I'm fine with it.
Are there, how are you influenced by the fandom as it is now?
I think that I'm only sort of just discovering it, because on Tumblr, it's mostly, I mean, it's generally sort of the way Tumblr works, that there's more gif sets than text posts than actual talk.
Very visual.
Although I have engaged before, more so through asks than actual reblogs, but I have engaged before in some really interesting talks. And I have, like, just this week discovered there is a Discord server. So this is something new for me that I'm sort of discovering, and I guess I will see how that works for me. But it's nice to see that there are still some people who haven't abandoned this ship and who are still sailing it, even all those years later, after other ships stole the attention of the majority.
I can imagine. Are there, like, certain fanons and tropes that are particularly popular in this fandom?
I haven't encountered anything very clearly fanon just yet. I feel like the thing is that ship focuses a lot on Tony and Bruce sciencing together, and that is basically the canon basis for it. But some things that I've come across is the fact that I really like the way the Funworks explore the comic backstory, especially the Earth-616 backstories, a lot more than just sort of... the canon doesn't really give us much of the backstory, right?
Yeah. Maybe explain what that is.
The whole, I don't fully understand the whole multiverse of the Marvel comics, but generally the Earth 616 is one of those verses, as far as I know. And it's, I think, a really expanded one. And one that gives a lot of insight, especially into Bruce's backstory and the way that his father hadn't really wanted a child, was later...
Okay.
Because his father was also a physicist and working on radiation, he was also later convinced that because of radiation he was exposed to at work, his child would be mutated, and he abused Bruce and beat him and his mother, and later murdered his mother in front of Bruce's eyes. So that generally is a lot to unpack that the movies at all.
Yeah, I see what you mean about broken boys.
I mean, that's just the start. There's more of that later. His teenagers weren't really easy either. But there's also the comics part that's a lot more positive. And I think one thing that I really liked in Funworks was the fact that they kind of adopted comic characters, and especially the character of Jennifer Walters, who is Bruce's cousin, and She-Hulk later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I heard about her.
And
yeah.
She's pretty great. And I really, really enjoy the fact that the Funworks use her, especially considering that the MCU Bruce doesn't really have many connections. I mean, Tony has Pepper and Rhodey, and even if he's also sort of alone in the world, he has this group of people around him, and Bruce basically only had Betty, and Betty is dead, or
Betty
someone
is dead?
Off.
Well, how?
No, it's more like it always in the comics.
Betty just disappeared.
Betty just disappeared, or she's dead, or she's moved on and has a kid and a husband. It's always one of the three options, both in Funworks and some canon versions I've seen, because it's always a guessing game. I mean, I don't think there's an official version there.
Yeah, because in the MCU they don't mention her anymore.
They just don't mention her, and Bruce has basically sort of established his life especially after the Avengers. I mean, things happen later in canon, but at the beginning of Age of Ultron, for example, we had seen that Bruce had sort of created a stable life for himself, and still he doesn't mention Betty or reach out to her, and we don't know what happened with her. So as far as I've seen, like, the fanon assumptions are either she's dead or she's moved on and has a husband. I have never really seen many versions that have them reconnect, which is sort of sad. And I think something that I would like to see more of, I think it's a problem with Edward Norton. People sort of erase Betty because she's from a different actor version.
that's Bruce has gotten a bit shortchanged in the MCU.
Yeah, it's kind of really sad, because when you think about it, there's like this sort of, in the MCU we have the main six, but there is this four core of the Avengers, that's Steve, Tony, Thor and Bruce. But while Thor, Steve and Tony all have trilogies.
Yes.
Each of them has three movies by now. Yeah, they all have three movies. But
yes,
Hulk only has one movie, and
it's not
with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah,
so there is that, and that's kind of really sad.
Yeah, so obviously that's something that fandom has to fix.
Yeah.
Focus, give us more backstory, give us more texture to Bruce. and his relationships, including the one with Tony.
Definitely, I'm here for it, and I'm working on this also. Thankfully, there is still fun content.
Yes, you said that you're writing, right?
Yeah.
You're quite productive.
Sort of, depending on how we understand the word productive.
Well, you write quite a lot. I just checked out your AO3 page. You've been quite busy.
It's a little unbelievable that, yeah, I managed to write something for this fandom lately. And generally, I have quite a lot of works posted, but I'm a sort of writer who just sort of writes in spurts. I either publish like 20 works in 2 weeks or nothing for like 3 months.
But obviously you're inspired right now.
Yeah, although actually the works I have posted today are something that I have had written last week and 2 weeks ago. I just really couldn't bring myself to post it for some reason, and I decided that maybe talking to you is the motivation that I need to get them out and see how they deal with the readers.
Yes. Do you write like canon-based fics exclusively, or do you also write AUs?
I have some AUs, some published ones in other fandoms, and some ideas, but I'm mostly a writer who really enjoys canon divergence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I just really like working with the core material, including using canon quotes and building on it.
Yes.
I think it's also in a way sort of cheating. I mean, it makes it easier in a way. But I have worked with AUs before, and it was also really fun. I think I actually wrote one AU for Marvel already. I have written like a royalty medieval sort of AU.
Oh.
Or Tony and Bucky, but that was
okay.
Unexpected, and it was one in the lifetime sort of chance when I get flow, just sit down, and after 3 hours I have a fic. That doesn't really happen all that often.
Yeah, yes, it doesn't for me either, so I totally get that. Yeah, so we talked mostly about Bruce so far. What is it that appeals to you about Tony?
Oh god, that is a surprisingly difficult question.
Because you mentioned before that you're a big Robert Downey Jr. fan, and
I mean, it's
kind
it's
of like your gateway.
To answer the question about why I love Robert Downey Jr. because he's a very real person, and his sort
yeah.
of inspiring backstory inspires me a lot more because he's real. But I think
mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone loves Tony Stark. But I
yes.
think there is this whole redemption arc of his that, I mean, a lot of people seem dead set on ignoring. I have found out after moving on Tumblr. I didn't know there is so much hate. But I think personally, to me, the redemption arc is the core of his character. And that's what makes
mm-hmm.
him really, really interesting. The fact that his very, very human in that he makes mistakes. He
yeah.
sometimes is not perfect. Sometimes he's really egoistic. Sometimes he allows himself to be manipulated. Sometimes he's an asshole, but we love him for it because that makes him real. And he still learns to own up to his mistakes, and he tries his best to fix them.
Yes.
And that is really something that I don't see enough around me, and I think at least in fiction I can try to look for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that there were people who did not see that as his core, like the core message, because like he's still trying to make up for some like for something that happened, you know, that wasn't really his fault to begin with. As far as I, you know, as I'm concerned, it was Howard who started the weapons manufacturing.
I mean, the canon
and Tony's still making up for it.
The canon is very clear that it was Howard who started with the weapons manufacturing. And
yeah, and Tony just, I mean, obviously he could have kind of turned it around sooner, but he's been more than making up for it as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, I think the thing is that he truly, back when he was younger, even when he was a sort of asshole playboy, he was still at his core sort of a good man who just believed that weapons in the hands of American soldiers save lives. And the thing is that the Iron Man movies, the first Iron Man movie, makes it really clear that actually putting the weapons in hands of terrorists was Obadiah's doing, not Tony. So I mean, to me, Tony's character is built on his redemption arc. So the fact that some people didn't see it is just really, really absurd for me.
Obviously, I've curated my Tumblr dash quite a bit, because I've never seen anything like that.
I mean, it's sort of popped up on my dash a few times in sort of positive kind of posts that just disassemble all the aunties' arguments. And I was just sort of staring at it like, that's a thing that people claim. But I guess a part of that is also the canon's fault. Because Marvel, for some reason, is dead keen on that trope that people whose families or someone close to them were killed by guns blame Tony as the gun manufacturer instead of the person who was holding the gun, which is just...
Yeah, looking at you, Scarlet Witch.
I mean, it's just hilarious, because, I mean, it's not just Wanda. It's also, there was some random woman in, I think, Civil War.
The mom of that kid.
Can you imagine that happening in the real world? Someone blaming the weapon manufacturer instead of the shooter?
Yeah. I guess it's, I mean, kind of like a Watsonian explanation might be that because Tony has been so vocal about, you know, apologizing for being the weapons manufacturer, so that people kind of now do make that connection. That's the Watsonian explanation. The Doylist, of course, is that Marvel just likes the drama.
It seems sort of, I mean, I guess maybe in a way also maybe a more American logic. Maybe it makes sense to some people. Personally, to me, it's just sort of bizarre, because to me, even the fact that in USA people can just have guns on their shelves is also bizarre. So it's all very fictional to me.
Yeah, I'm Swiss, so in my country, every man who's in the army, which theoretically is anyone over the age of 18, has a weapon at home. But still, we somehow manage not to have so many shootings. I don't know.
That's fascinating. Maybe it's almost like the problem was naturally with the guns. But with people, it's... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yes, so is there anything else you'd like to share about this pairing of yours? Anything you love about it especially?
Nothing really comes to my mind right now. I mean, it's one of those pairings that are really hard to sort of explain. I have pairings that are based on some sort of connection between characters or a difference between characters, but with these two, I guess it's just chemistry to me, which is funny because I'm usually a person who's really blind to chemistry, and the whole like chemistry discourse that I sometimes see, I'm just like, I don't get it. But with these two, I could see sort of a difference in the dynamics, and that really appealed to me.
Well, I mean, there is also the basis in canon, like that. Is there a lot of Avengers Tower flat share fic out there?
I think quite a lot. God, I really enjoy that, and there's not as much as I would like, but I there is quite a lot of that. Both the
because I remember in 2012.
Yeah, both the 2012 kind of fix, when there was still the whole idea of all the Avengers living in the Stark Tower, as well as newer fix focusing on the Avengers compound.
Oh, okay.
And all sorts of people moving into the Avengers compound. Like, I've come across quite a lot of fix that either build on the Avengers moving back into the compound after... Mm-hmm. Civil War is over, or just generally fix where people move back into the compound who are on Tony's side, and then suddenly there's, you know, Deadpool, Matt Murdock, Jessica Jones, just any sort of sub-fandom you have in Marvel is suddenly there. And that's really fun, I think. That's also really interesting. Though I sometimes do miss that simple sort of simpler times when it was just, you know, everyone having their own floor in the tower. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't the whole problem with the Guardians of the Galaxy joining, with Thanos entering the scene, and the whole plot growing more and more complicated.
Yeah. Are there a lot of post-Infinity War fix for this ship?
I feel like there are quite a lot of them. I've come across some. I feel like, in a way, Infinity War sort of bumped it up again, because there was also really nice dynamics in Infinity War between Tony and Bruce.
Yeah, but definitely. Before they end up on different planets again.
Yeah, that's slightly problematic, but nothing we haven't dealt with before, funnily enough. But I feel like after Infinity War, it was definitely Stephen Strange who stole the spotlight. But to me, the dynamics definitely were there to build on, not just Tony and Bruce dynamics, but also Tony, Bruce and Pepper, which is also a sort of OT3 combination that I really enjoy.
Yes, I've seen that around as well. Because I like Pepper. I'd feel bad for her if she was all alone.
Yeah, it's so sad. Like, they are just standing there discussing their engagement, and then there's Bruce. So, like, I definitely prefer to make it all three of them. In that context.
Polyamory.
Yeah, that's...
Polyamory, the solution to everything.
That's the solution to everything.
Especially the solution to stupid, boring love triangles.
Oh, God, we hate those. We don't accept love triangles. We just accept OT3s. That's a lot better solution.
Absolutely. And at some point, canon will catch up with us.
Maybe. It's getting better. It's getting better in general with polyamory depictions on screen. Yeah. We're still not there, but I guess that maybe one day.
Unfortunately, Marvel is probably going to be one of the last ones.
Yeah, I can't really see that happening in Marvel.
I mean, we're still waiting for the first gay Marvel character. I mean, in MCU. I know in the comics
they
have.
It's funny because, like, the comics do kind of have quite a lot quite a lot of base for really diverse stories and characters, and the movies are still so dead set and being in some ways so old-fashioned, and just having the male-female romance anywhere, just here's the male protagonist, here's the female protagonist there, and then there are just like some sort of ships that feel like they were just put there for the romance.
Oh, yeah.
Canon can just be like that sometimes.
We're not talking about the boop plant moment.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. But, okay, so maybe it's time to... We've talked quite a bit about the types of fanworks that are out there. Maybe it's time to move on to the rec corner and hear about your favorite fanworks.
All right.
Do you have some ready for us?
Yeah. I have some. Maybe not as many as I should, but I think that the problem is just that I tend to read fics that are like over 100k. So it was a bit hard to choose.
just what's the first fic that you will recommend someone read if they want to get a feel for this pairing?
I said, I really wouldn't recommend my favorites of all time to someone who wants to get a feel of it, because they are long. But I think that I would probably suggest checking out Agent Simmons' works. Mm-hmm. Who has quite a lot of both long fics as well as shorter ones. There is this really adorable series, Hulk Hearts Puppies, That's about Hulk really liking dogs. And because of that, Bruce and Tony get this huge puppy that obviously later grows up into a huge dog, and it's really nice. It's the sort of fluff that I sometimes really need to distress. And there are also some really nice AUs. Like, I'm not usually, like I said, a person who does AUs both in writing and in reading, but I really, really like Agent Simmons' alternate universes. They even have a Spy AU, and Spy AUs are my favorite ones because there is still that connection to James Bond.
Oh, yes. And fandoms collide.
Yeah, yeah, there is definitely. I think there is a certain appeal in AUs that are sort of alternate universe being the universe of another one of your fandoms. It's not really a crossover, but it's something similar. It's really fun.
Yeah, my own particular weakness is Pacific Rim fusions.
I've seen quite a lot of that around. I haven't actually watched the Pacific Rim movies, but I feel like I've heard there's John Boyega, so maybe I should.
The second one. Well, you should watch the first one as well. The first one is amazing. The second one is good too because it has John Boyega, but the first one is so good. Sorry, tangent. But it's, you know, it has the whole drift compatibility thing going on.
I've heard a lot about my heart. So probably after I get on with my horribly long watching list, I may add them at the end.
Because it's only two movies, you know, you can watch that.
That's really good because I'm not very good with watching shows. Like, I have plans to finally catch up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while now because I absolutely adore Phil Coulson, but there's like 5 seasons by now. It's just so much.
And they're long seasons.
Yeah.
They're all seasons with like 22 episodes.
Yeah, that's a lot. 22 episodes and 5 seasons. That's overall like weeks of watching.
I know. I have the same problem as well. Yes, but back to the back to your recommendations. So we have Agent Simmons as your go-to author.
Yeah, another go-to author of mine who actually also has some really nice, a bit shorter stories would be Enigmatic Blue. And they are also another of my all-time favorites. Fake for the Science Boyfriend. That's More Than Was Lost series. It's actually literally just been completed this month. It's 6 works in general of canon divergence, so that's definitely my favorite genre. Starting from Iron Man 1, and instead of the character of Yinsen, it's Bruce ending up in the cave in Afghanistan with Tony, and then it all sort of explores the what if, and it's really, really good. It's like over 300k in general, and I'm right now rereading it all to get on with the last part because I'm a little bit terrified of how it's going to end, but it's absolutely amazing. And the author also has some really nice a bit shorter fics that are really, really nice for me when I just need like something for one evening to relax and focus on that won't necessarily be 3K long, be 300K long, because then I won't end up being able to get up in the morning.
Great. I'll link all of that in the show notes, of course. Any other fics that you want to read?
I mean, the thing is, I probably sound like a broken record, but like those two authors are really, really my go-tos.
Mm-hmm.
From Agent Simmons, my absolute favorite is Get In Line, Settle Down, because it's also a kid fic. Agent Simmons generally has a lot of kid fics, and I'm absolutely weak for that. I also have come across quite a lot of X-Men crossovers, which was a bit of a
surprise. I guess
that's
comics-based, right?
Not only, but, like, I've generally come across some that have Tony as a mutant, or, like, there was this one fic where Tony adopted Charles. Okay. I think I've read like 3 or 4 X-Men crossovers. That was a bit of a surprise, but that was something I really liked because personally, I really like X-Men and I'm really sad that they won't be able to just connect it into the MCU already. But that's always a problem with copyright.
Well, but it might happen at some point.
At some point. I think that considering how many things they are reconnecting into the whole universe, they would be able to edit at some point.
Yeah.
There is also this one fake that's... Oh, good Lord. I really need to remember the title, if you will give me a moment, but it's really interesting in terms of it being a sort of interesting AU where Tony is not, where Tony kind of earlier than in the canon says fuck you to the whole weapons manufacturing and instead establishes his company as a sex toys company. So that was really interesting because like I sort of only even downloaded that out of curiosity because the funny part of this is that sex to me is the most boring part of anything. I don't read snap. I don't like it. I always skip the pages. But that was, I felt like that may be interesting. So I sort of clicked on that out of sheer curiosity. And it turned out to be really, really good. I found the fake and the name is actually Ironheart Man. So... Yeah, that title definitely grabbed my attention, and it turned out to be a really good thing. There is also a thing called Heartbeat by Diff, I think. I'm always a bit confused with how to pronounce the AO3 names, and I really enjoyed that one also, especially as a thing that explores the Hulk too, because yes. I really like to dive a bit into that dynamic and get to see the Hulk come out also. Tony and Hulk interactions can be absolutely great. When I'm looking at my Rex corner, I think when because generally I download all my things to Kindle, and the thing is just when I open my Kindle and I see my list of my favorite things, it's just like literally every second thing is either Enigmatic Blue or Agent Simmons. So I really can't emphasize it enough that they are really good.
Okay, great. Are you also into like visual fan works?
I really enjoy them, but I don't really consume too many of them. I don't really watch the videos, and I sort of come across fan art on Tumblr or. Sometimes I go through DeviantArt.
Mm-hmm.
So I have come across really good fan works before, but I don't usually have that many favorites. Although I do have favorite fan art artists.
Yes.
One is Holpen on DeviantArt, who has absolutely adorable stuff for all kind of characters and ships in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And another one is Echo Kitty, who also has absolutely amazing stuff and who actually has a Tumblr blog like Ask the Science Bros with absolutely adorable comics. I absolutely adore those comics. They are cute and hilarious. And really, really, I would recommend checking them out. I actually used one of Echo Kitty works, a Valentine's card, as an inspiration for part of my fig. So cool. I really, really enjoy the works.
Great. So they'll definitely end up in the show notes then. Awesome. Anything else that you feel people need to read, watch, consume?
I don't really think I have any more Rex, except maybe I don't know if I can find the link to that because... I sort of have been looking, but it's not that easy. But if I find the link, I will try to send it to you. There is this gift set I'm not talking about the gift set here in the sense of this absolute work of art that people make. I'm talking about a simple behind the scenes gift set that someone had managed to get. I don't know if it's like from a DVD extras or something, but there is a gift set from the famous Pogue scene where Tom like electrocutes or something like that Bruce just because he's Tony, and someone has a version of that scene that's so obviously behind the scenes where Robert Downey Jr. just pinches Mark's ass instead of poking him. It's very visible in the gift set. It's obviously not what ended up in the movie. If anyone watched the movie, that's not what happens. But it's great. And I really need to find it and link it. But yeah, I will also send you the links for some of those X-Men crossovers, who were also really nice.
Oh, yes. Great. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I'm looking very much forward to checking all of that out. And I'm sure people listening will do too. By the way, listeners, just in case you have anything to say about the ships that we talk about, please let me know. Send me recs, send me links. I'd love to hear from you. All right. So I think that's probably wraps it up mostly. Or do you have anything else you'd like to share?
I don't really think so.
Okay. So, who's next? Who do you nominate as the next link
so
in the chain?
So I nominate my Parabatai, Takara Phoenix, over on Tumblr. And I nominate her to talk about the Percy Jackson fandom and Nikasi, because she's kind of a big name in there.
Okay, great. So that's a fandom that I know hardly anything about, so that's going to be interesting. She can explain it to me as if I'm a noob.
I hope it's going to be an interesting experience for you to find out about another fandom.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. I mean, that's the whole idea. So if people want to find your stuff online, where can they do so? How can they get in touch with you?
I'm on AO3 as Kimi and on Tumblr as KimiCap, as well as on my One Piece side blog, The One, which is all for hurting my favorite characters. So if someone also enjoys that sort of stuff, I am taking prompts there and they can request a little figlet.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
It was my pleasure.
It was lots of fun.
I really enjoyed it and I hope that I did okay.
Yes, you did, definitely.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea.
This wraps up the third episode of the Shipping Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the interview and can't wait to dive into the links provided in the show notes, which you can find on Tumblr at shippingcast or under shippingcast.fandomish.net. In light of the latest developments with Tumblr, I've set up a separate site for the show notes. Luckily, I already had web hosting, so now shippingcast.fandomish.net no longer forwards to at shippingcast on Tumblr, but to a WordPress-powered website. Better safe than sorry. But don't worry, my dear Tumblr followers. I'll still post the episodes and reblock recs from the show notes on Tumblr, as long as they'll let me. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher and Google Music, but also on SoundCloud and Spotify, as well as other podcast directories. I'm on Twitter as shipping_cast, and you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net, where you can also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. The next episode should be up in 2 weeks, in which I'll talk with Takara Phoenix about Percy and Nico from Percy Jackson and the Olympians. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. I'm Shirazade, spelled S-H-I-R-A-S-A-D-E, and you can find me as such on Tumblr and AO3, on shirazade.net as well as on ko-fi.com/shirazade should you want to help me purchase pro account for the podcast and eventually a proper mic. You can also help me by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. For now though, thanks so much for listening and remember, you are the captain of your ship.